10. John chapter 10. We focused our attention on the last week of Jesus' life and ultimately the resurrection last Sunday on Resurrection Day. So now we'll go back to where we were in our study in the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, we finished up chapter 9 at the end of February. So now here we are, we find ourselves in John chapter 10. We'll begin reading this morning in verse 1, John chapter 10. The inspired and inerrant and infallible Word of God reads, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes out before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Let's pray. Father, this is your word. You've given it to us for our benefit and for our good, to instruct us, to rebuke us, to correct us, to guide us into all righteousness. And if that's to happen this morning, if we're to glean from this word the truth that you would have us know to glorify your name and to edify your church, then it will be through the power of your Spirit speaking to the hearts of your people. And I pray for that now. My words are empty clanging cymbals, but your words are the words of life. May we hear them and receive them as your word. For the glory of your name, we pray this through Christ. Amen. Amen. The subject of everything in John's gospel, in fact, the subject of the entire Bible, is Jesus. Jesus. It's all about him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. He was born in Bethlehem in a stable, born to the human parents of Mary and Joseph, a carpenter by trade. He lived, he grew just as you and I have. He hungered, he got thirsty, he got tired. He slept, he laughed, he even cried. He lived a perfect life. He was tempted in all points, yet was without sin. He never once sought fame and fortune. He always lived his entire life in full submission to the Father, even to the point of death. He was the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. Much has been written and much has been recorded about the man Jesus through the years. But regardless of what's been written and regardless of what's been said, nothing can change the reality of who he is. Even for the skeptics and the unbelievers who deny who Jesus is and deny his reality, can't change the truth. So whether you believe or whether you don't believe, it doesn't change the fact of who Jesus is. He's the unchanging God, the great I Am, the second part of the triune Godhead. And he's just as unchanging in his person as the Father is unchanging in his person and as the Holy Spirit is in his person. So when he made this great I Am statements in John's gospel, when he said, "I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the resurrection, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the vine." When he makes these great I Am statements, there's no denying the emphasis that he's making of being God. In emphasizing his deity, I pointed that out to you before, even the way that he spoke it and even the way that it's written, for him to say, ego a me, I am the door, emphasizes his deity. So regardless of what the critics and skeptics will say, regardless of what the false teachers will say in the cult groups, and perhaps a liberal professing Christian, regardless of what any of those say, if they try to interpret these seven I am statements that Jesus makes in John's gospel in any other way, and they come away with any interpretation that denies the deity of Christ, they're wrong. He's God. No one can change that. Now, had to get that point made before we start and get caught back up to where we are. It's the same setting from chapter 9, when we finish that in chapter 9. Jesus is in Jerusalem. This is still part of the same conversation. He's been teaching his disciples. He healed a man who was blind from birth, and then he was confronted by the Pharisees and the religious leaders, because when he healed this blind man, he healed him on the Sabbath day. So Jesus turns and points to their spiritual blindness and points out they're even more blind than this man who was born blind from birth. Verse 6 says he gives an illustration telling exactly who he is. Now, if you've got the King James Version, it says parable, but it's not the word that we usually translate from parable. I think the most accurate translations use the phrase figure of speech in verse 6. Jesus used a figure of speech. The New King James that I read from says he used an illustration to make the point of just exactly who he is after doing this great miracle before these people in healing this blind man. And so in chapter 10, we have the topic that is ultimately the theme of the entire chapter. Chapter 10 is commonly known as the Good Shepherd chapter, and that it is. But we could break it down into two sections. I want to go ahead and point this out to you before we progress any further into the chapter. Verses 1 through 21 occurs in this setting. It continues from chapter 9, which continued from chapter 8, which continued from chapter 7. He's in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's doing this great work, and he's teaching these great things to his disciples and to all who are listening. And lots of things are taking place there and around the temple area. But then, beginning in verse 22 of chapter 10, that we'll get to in the coming weeks, Lord willing, we see where it says, now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. So several months pass between chapter 10, verse 21, and verse 22. The Feast of Tabernacles and everything that takes place here that we're reading this morning takes place in the fall at the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 22 begins the winter season, so several months have passed. You could say from October to December, perhaps, on our calendar. But it's in this first section, verses 1 through 21, that Jesus gives this illustration of exactly who he is. He's just done this great miracle. They've tried to rebuke him. He rebukes them, and he tells of their spiritual blindness. He speaks of judgment in chapter 9. We saw all those things last time, and now Jesus makes this great declaration. Verse 7 and verse 9 of our text this morning, Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. Now we read that, and people say, what in the world does that mean? Why does Jesus say, I am the door? Yes, he's emphasizing his deity when he says it, the way that he says it. But he says, I am the door. This is the third of the seven I am statements. What does Jesus mean when he says, I am the door? Notice first of all the illustration. Again, verses 1 through 5, Jesus says, I say to you, he who does not hear the sheepfold, enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls them by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus uses a metaphor here to help everyone understand who he is. And as always, he uses a figure of speech so that these, and a metaphor or an example, that the original listeners would be able to relate to. In every village, in every town, there was a sheepfold, basically just a pen there in the village that the shepherds who had their flocks out in the fields at, during the day grazing could bring in, if they so chose, to the sheepfold for protection. It was basically just a pen with a wall surrounding the whole thing. One door, one way in, one way out. No other way, no other exits, no other entrances. And the shepherds would bring in the sheep, and they would have a doorkeeper or a hireling, someone that they would hire to protect or watch over the door so no one else could get in, none of the shepherds. So there would be different shepherds with different flocks, putting them into this same pen, into this same safe, secure gathering, if you will. And the shepherds would come out, and only the shepherds had access that could come in and out through the door. The doorkeeper would protect. In fact, sometimes the shepherds themselves would sleep in the doorway, so no animal or wild animal or thief or robber could come in and steal or harm any of the sheep. And he even says, those who come in any other way besides this door, they're not good. They're thieves. They're robbers. Verse 10, they only come to steal, to kill, and destroy. So Jesus, in this case, uses this example, something that they would understand. They know what a sheepfold is. They know what he's talking about when he mentions the door of the sheepfold. It's the one entrance that the shepherd can enter to get to his sheep. The one way in and one way out that only the shepherds had access to. And in this case, Jesus is referring to the sheepfold, of the place where the sheep were, where his sheep were, and he's going to get to this, and we're going to progress with this. This is really a two-part sermon. We'll pick up on it next week and finish it up. But basically, the sheepfold Jesus is referring to is Israel, God's people. Jesus himself is going to show himself to be the shepherd next week in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The religious leaders who had misled the people, who had harmed the people, who were beating the sheep instead of feeding and taking care of the sheep, the religious leaders, they're the thieves and the robbers. They came to steal, they came to kill, they came to destroy the people of God. One more thing in this illustration that is used, you can't miss this, the doctrines of grace that's pictured in this great illustration. He talks about the divine call, and the sheep, his sheep, hear his voice. There's effectual call. They hear the call of God. He knows them by name. Unconditional election. He knows his sheep, and they know his voice, and they don't hear the false teachers. They don't hear them, those who are misleading. They hear as he calls them specifically, not a general call, but specifically. We make a general call when we preach, but he specifically calls them by name. And they hear and they recognize, that's my shepherd. And that's how sheep would do. Your pets even do that. I had a dog that people could call, and he may perk his ear up and look, but when I called his name, his head stood straight up. You've got animals just like that. So that's what Jesus is referring to. That's the illustration. The sheepfold, the shepherd, the door, the one way in, the one way out, the place of protection, the place where no one else could go in and out but the shepherd. And if they came in any other way, they're thieves and the robbers. So Jesus gives this great illustration, first of all. Now, secondly, notice the explanation. This is the point that Jesus is going to make. Using that for an example, verses 6 through 10, or 7 through 10, Jesus says to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, he just gave them this picture, this example, that they pictured out in the village of the sheepfold, of the gate, of the pen, and the one doorway, and all that's on their mind. So Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. All the false teachers, all the religious leaders who were misleading the people, who were abusing the people with the very law that God had given them. But the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus starts this illustration off and explaining this illustration by saying, I am the door through which the sheep must go through to find refuge, to find safety, and to find shelter. In other words, I'm the only way. I'm the only means of salvation. I'm the only means of safety and shelter for the sheep. Now remember, Jesus is God, God incarnate. And he says, if you want safety and you want security of being a child of God, you'll get it through me, or you won't get it at all. Otherwise, you're thieves and you're robbers and you're trying to enter in some other way. Now, a lot of people in the world says that sounds narrow. So if we say Jesus is the only way of safety, he's the only way of salvation, he's the only means of safety for the sheep, for God's people. They say, that sounds very narrow. And you're very narrow-minded to think that way. Guess what? It is narrow. It's very narrow. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. You must pass through the door into the safety and shelter of the fold. There's no other way. In order to be safe and secure as God's sheep and in the sheepfold of God, you must pass through not just many doors, but the door. So the world will tell you, but that's so narrow, and all roads lead to God. And maybe you're finding your journey to the ultimate peace or the utopian peace of spirituality through this Jesus. But you know, there's other means. There's Eastern mysticism. There's this New Age philosophy. There's Hinduism. There's yoga meditation. There's Buddhism. There's Islam. There's all of these different ways that lead to the same God. And when you hear that, you can say, no, that's not what Jesus said. He said there's only one door. He described it as a sheepfold. He described it as a shepherd putting his sheep into this fold of safekeeping. And he described it as a place with only one door. And Jesus said he is that door. Any other way is a lie. And if you try to enter in any other way, and you try to enter into the sheepfold in any other means, Jesus says you're a thief and you're a robber. So when the world tells you that all roads lead to God, you can say that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said that he is the only way. He even said it this way in chapter 7 of Matthew's gospel. Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You know what this depicts? When he says narrow is the gate, the word used here, it depicts a turnstile. As we would see in our modern times, a place like when you go to the airport or even to Dollywood, and you go through this turnstile at the gate where only one person can go through at a time. It's so narrow, you can't fit two or three of you. You've got to go one at a time through that, only through that turnstile. That's what Jesus is describing here. It's one way. There's no other means. There's no other way. There's no escape hatch. There's no secret entrance into the fold of God's people. Again, the world says that's narrow, and that's bigoted, and that's wrong, and that's mean, and that's evil, and that's cruel. How dare the arrogance of this man Jesus to think that he's the only means of salvation, and how dare you, Christian, to be so arrogant to say that and tell me, if I'm the world speaking, and tell me that I have to go through him. Well, let me encourage you, my brothers and sisters, the church, that narrowness is not a bad thing. It's God's way of showing compassion. It's God's way of showing love and patience towards his children. It's God's way of assuring them of salvation. Because God's saying, I'm making it perfectly clear. What if God said, here are all the world's religions. Here's your Buddhism. Here's your Hinduism. Here's your Eastern mysticism and your meditation and your yoga and all these things. You figure out which one's the right way. But God doesn't do that, does he? He makes it abundantly clear throughout Scripture, and Jesus makes it very clear right here. I am the door, and there's only one door. It would not be loving, it would not be compassionate, and it would not be caring if God gave us all those options and made us choose for ourselves. But it's very loving and compassionate and caring when Jesus himself makes it very clear there's no other way in. You're a thief or a robber. If you come in any other way, you must come through me. I am the door of the sheep. Narrowness, friends, is not a bad thing. We're not left guessing which way is the right way to God. When Noah built the ark and the flood of God's judgment came upon the earth, there was one door. When they built the tabernacle and later the temple into the presence of God where he would meet with the priest and where he would come down and meet with his people, there was one door. There was one way into God's presence. And Jesus says, I am that way. I am the door. That's the explanation that he offers for this great illustration that he's given. He says, I am the door of the sheep. They know my voice. I'll call them by name. I'll lead them out. Now notice number three, the promise. The promise that he makes. Promise is twofold. Number one, he says, if anyone enters by me, in verse 9, he will be saved. That's a promise. I am the door of the sheep. There's no other way in. There's no other way out. I am the door of the sheep. And if anyone comes in by me, he will be saved. Now, we've gone from the illustration. We've gone from the word picture. We've gone from this figure of speech to reality now. If you enter by me, you'll be saved. Now it's becoming very personal, isn't it? It's not just talking about what's out there in the village, the sheep pen. Anyone who comes through the door, who is me, he will be saved. You say, saved from what, Jesus? What do you mean, be saved? Saved from yourself? Yes. Saved from sin? Yes. But ultimately, and I've probably used this example before and told you this before, but ultimately, what we are saved from and what we need to be saved from and what every person needs to be saved from is God's wrath. So you're saved by God and you're saved from God. Listen, the biggest threat we face is not Russia and it's not China. It's not wars. It's not hurricanes. What every single human being needs salvation from is the righteous, holy wrath of a holy God. Listen to Zephaniah. This is one of those passages you don't read often. I don't think anybody wakes up at 3 in the morning and says, hey, I think I'll go read Zephaniah. Listen to what he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about this judgment of God's. This judgment that we're delivered from when we enter through the door of Jesus Christ. Zephaniah writes, beginning in verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. When you read about the great day of the Lord, through these Old Testament prophets, we're talking about the judgment of God. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. This is God speaking through the prophet. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Yahweh. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Zephaniah writes, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. He will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. This God of love, this God of patience, and this God of mercy, and he is all of that. Don't hear me ever say anything different. God is a God of love. He's long-suffering towards his people. He's full of mercy. He's full of grace. But there will come a day when that God of love, mercy, and grace says enough to this sin-cursed world. And he'll pour his wrath out in perfect, holy, righteous judgment. And the only hope that any of us have from being spared from that impending judgment is Jesus Christ, the door. You enter into the sheepfold, the place of security, the place of protection, the place of safety. You enter into that through Jesus Christ. He says, if you enter in by me, he will be saved. It's a promise. It's narrow. It's exclusive. But it's a promise that we can trust in. Enter in through me, Jesus Christ, the door. And he says, you will be saved. That's the first part of the promise. He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And then secondly, notice what else he says in verse 9. He says, and he will go in and out and find pasture. That's the beauty of being saved. That's the beauty of being in the fold. That's the beauty of being in the sheepfold of God's people. Not only are you saved from his wrath and his judgment, not only do you have eternal life, but you have an abundant life here and now, in and out. It refers to the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. We're free to live and enjoy the life God has given us. We're not bound by the law anymore. We're not walking around with a list of do's and don'ts that we're going to fail, afraid that we're going to fall into some sin and be excluded from the sheepfold. But it's by grace and the tender mercy of God He receives you into the fold when you come through the door of Jesus Christ. And you're not bound by that law anymore. You've been set free. And you've been set free to your being bound to sin. So you're free to go in and out. And He says, and find pasture. Speaks of the provision that God gives us. And also the rest and assurance He gives us. It's the same as David wrote in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's the freedom, that's the protection, that's the provision that God provides for His sheep, giving you all you need in abundance. And as He told David, I believe in every one of our lives we will hear it and receive it as such. If that wasn't enough, I would have given you more. And I've given you grace upon grace and mercy upon mercy. James Boyce said, we're saved, we're safe, and we're satisfied. When we enter through the door, when we're in the sheepfold, we're saved, we're safe, we're satisfied. We'll go in and out, we'll find pasture. We'll find the satisfaction for our soul in Jesus Christ, the door. You know, we've got passwords for computers, we've got PIN numbers at banks, we've got Social Security numbers to go into our accounts and all these things. All of these things, these numbers, these codes, are the access to your resources, your account, whatever it may be, right? You can't get in any other way. No one can get in your account if they don't have your number. And you can't get into their account. There's one way into that account. There's one way into the sheepfold of God's people. One way into the fold of God's family. One way to become the sheep of God. And that is through the door, Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, have you been through that door? Are you certain you didn't climb in another way? You didn't try to earn your way in? Because you're a smart person, you figured out a way to go through the wall, the gate? Or you figured out a way to climb in some other way? Jesus says you're a thief or a robber if you've done that. I ask you this morning, have you been granted access to the Father through the door? Through Jesus Christ. I could talk more about the exclusivity of the statement, but I'll save that for chapter 14 when He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For now, let me just say, Jesus is the only door. He's the only way into the sheepfold of God's people. It's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not Hinduism or any other cult or religion of the world. There is no other way. It's not your good works or your good deeds. It's not your church membership or your baptism. It's the door. His name is Jesus Christ, and I ask you this morning, have you been through that door? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I pray for every person here that I'm looking at this morning.